the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this final weekend of April. I don't know about you, but I find it kind of scary how fast time flies. In the interview segment this week, I feature part two of my conversation with Michael Warsaw, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN. As you heard in part one, we spoke when he was in Rome recently for the blessing of the new additional EWTN office space. I reprise a bit of that conversation by talking about the history of the EWTN Rome Bureau, from a humble office in my home as the first bureau chief to the latest premises. Michael then goes on to tell us about the future of EWTN. You will be amazed and delighted at what's on the horizon. So stay tuned for that informative and interesting conversation after the news highlights and a Q&A. And now, a look back at the past week. Sunday, April 21st. At the Regina Caeli on Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Francis reminded the faithful that Jesus loves us without limit, giving his life for us. He prays that we may go meet the Lord and allow ourselves to be welcomed and lifted up by the loving arms of our Good Shepherd. Francis explained that a shepherd during Christ's time required spending entire days and nights caring for the sheep, not just a few hours a day. And the Good Shepherd knows each one of his sheep, looking out for them, searching for them if they are lost, ensuring their safety and needs are met by living in symbiosis with them. Jesus not only shares the life of the flock, knowing each person by name, but he also searches for us when we go astray until he finds us. He's the Good Shepherd who has sacrificed his life for us and has given us his Spirit through his resurrection. Sunday, Pope Francis also issued a heartfelt plea for peace in Palestine, Israel, and Ukraine, urging dialogue over conflict and remembering the suffering of those affected. I continue to watch with concern and sorrow the situation in the Middle East. I reiterate the plea not to yield to the claims of war, but rather to prioritize dialogue and diplomacy, which can achieve much. Every day, I pray for peace in Palestine and Israel, hoping these two peoples can soon end their suffering. Monday, April 22nd. On the occasion of their general chapter, Pope Francis welcomed the Brothers of Christian Instruction of Ploermel, known as La Menée Brothers, highlighting their charism of the evangelization of children and young people through education. Pope Francis encouraged the brothers to be fathers to those to whom you are sent, fathers who reflect the loving and compassionate face of God. Also Monday, as the world marked Earth Day on April 22nd, Pope Francis reiterated his urgent plea for bold action for our common home and for world peace. In a post on his ex social media platform, he wrote, "Our generation has bequeathed many riches, but we have failed to protect the planet and we are not safeguarding the peace. We are called to become artisans and caretakers of our common home, the earth, which is falling into ruin." Tuesday, April 23rd. Greetings for Pope Francis on his name day poured into the Casa Santa Marta from around the world. April 23 is the feast day of St. George, and the Holy Father's onomastico or name day, as his baptism name is Jorge, Spanish for George. Many in Italy celebrate their name day in a greater fashion than their actual birthday, and are greeted by the words Buon Onomastico. Italian President Sergio Mattarella took the occasion of the Feast of St. George to renew the expressions of the closeness of the Italian people and my highest consideration for your exalted apostolic mission. Wednesday, April 24th. At the General Audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis introduced a new catechesis after speaking on the four cardinal virtues recently. He highlighted the theological virtues, noting that faith, hope, and charity help us follow Christ, guide our journey together toward holiness, and restore us even when we fall. He said the Catechism of the Catholic Church describes the theological virtues as the foundation of Christian moral activity, which animate it and give it its special character, and they also inform and give life to all the moral virtues. These are infused by God, said the Pope, and with the Holy Spirit prepare us to merit eternal life. The Holy Father also appealed for global peace, emphasizing the devastating consequences of war and urging prayers for conflict-stricken regions like Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Myanmar, while advocating for peaceful resolutions and reconciliation. Also Wednesday, Francis sent a video message to the Diocese of Termoli-Larino in southern Italy that will welcome the statue of Our Lady of Fatima from April 27th to May 5th. He encouraged the faithful to open their hearts and their doors to the Mother of God. Wednesday afternoon, the Pope gave an interview to the U.S. radio television broadcaster CBS at the Casa Santa Marta. Conducted by Nora O'Donnell, director of CBS Evening News, excerpts were broadcast shortly afterwards, but the full version of the conversation will be aired on Sunday, May 19th, on the eve of World Children's Day, which will take place in Rome, May 25th and 26th. Thursday, April 25th, Pope Francis greeted some 50,000 members of Italian Catholic Action in St. Peter's Square as they gathered for their meeting between parents, grandparents, and children. Addressing the theme with open arms, the Pope noted that embrace is one of the most spontaneous expressions of human experience, and that it is through an embrace that life begins. He then introduced three points of reflection, three types of embrace: the missing embrace, the saving embrace, and the life-changing embrace. Also Thursday, meeting Hungarian pilgrims in the Vatican, Pope Francis encouraged them to be men and women of peace and to continue to safeguard their Christian identity. He thanked the Hungarian Church for welcoming Ukrainian refugees who are fleeing the war. 1,200 pilgrims from Hungary, accompanied by a number of bishops and Hungarian authorities, visited the Vatican on Thursday morning for a special encounter with the Pope, marking the first anniversary of his apostolic journey to the nation. The Pope had a special audience with Hungarian President Tamás Szulyák. Friday, April 26th, Francis welcomed a delegation of the Italian Checkers Association as it celebrates its 100th anniversary. He said two features of this ancient and popular game of checkers are particularly valuable in today's individualistic societies. First of all, it's acceptable to everyone and is played in various parts of the world. It's one of those games, he said, with which wherever you are, you can easily create a moment of meeting and fun. Secondly, said Francis, checkers is popular among migrants as they arrive in other countries and find relief in playing this game. Also Friday in the morning, Pope Francis welcomed Emo Mali Rahmon, the President of the Republic of Tajikistan. Discussions later at the Secretariat of State highlighted the importance of dialogue and mutual understanding between peoples and cultures for the promotion of world peace and harmony. Also Friday, the Holy Father received the bishops of the Italian region of Basilicata on their ad limina visit. Saturday, April 27th, marks the 10th anniversary of the canonization of Pope St. John Paul II and Pope St. John the 23rd. April 27th also marks the 181st birthday of Servant of God Joseph Dutton, born on that day in 1843 in Stowe, Vermont. The diocesan phase of his cause for canonization was closed in Honolulu, Hawaii in January, and all documents are now at the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints in the Vatican. Well, that's it for the news, but stay here for the Q&A and part two of my talk with EWTN CEO Michael Warsaw. Welcome to the Q&A segment of Vatican Insider. Very often, as background information for something I post on my blog, Jones Rome, or on Facebook, or when I answer someone's question on Facebook, I quote official church sources, such as the Catechism of the Catholic Church and canon law. I want you to have the facts from an official source, not an opinion by me or someone else on an important topic. Today I want to explain canon law. St. Thomas Aquinas defined law as a command of reason promulgated by a competent authority for the common good. He divided law into three categories: divine positive law, the Ten Commandments, natural moral law, and human positive law, And this latter is divided, of course, into civil law and ecclesiastical or church law. Now back to canon law. Canon law is the supreme law of the church, and it specifies the universal norms and regulations for the entire church. The actual application and implementation of these universal laws, however, are also contained in local law known as diocesan statutes, that is, rules made by the local bishop for the parishes of his diocese. Now, the word canon, C-A-N-O-N, comes from the Greek word canon, K-A-N-O-N, which means rule, and it refers to decrees that are binding on all persons. Canon law refers to the laws of the church that apply to all members of the Catholic faith. Now, there's a code of canon law for the Latin Church and another for the Oriental churches. Canon law has 7 books. Book 1 is about the origins of canon law and shares elementary legal terms and ideas, and then defines laws that protect and defend the threefold mission of the church: teaching, sanctifying, and governing. Book 2 describes the people of God and the hierarchical structure of the church and speaks of the responsibilities of the clergy and the laity. Book 3 explains the teaching and preaching office of the church. Book 4 discusses the sanctifying office and the requirements for Mass and the sacraments. Books 5 through 7 get into temporal goods, sanctions, and judicial procedures, respectively.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
For years and years, I listened to Rush Limbaugh, and I was a devoted fan. I loved him. When he died, I didn't care for the characters that replaced him. So I went spinning the dial and discovered you. I knew nothing about you. I have become a devoted listener to your programs. Your efforts are inspiring, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it.
As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Ever wonder about the power of prayer? St. John Chrysostom states that prayer and converse with God is a supreme good. It is a partnership and union with God. As the eyes of the body are enlightened when they see light, so our spirit, when it is intent on God through prayer, is illumined by His infinite light. Let God's infinite light be your guiding light. Ask Him to guide you daily in your prayer, work, recreation, home life with family, and your friendships.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part 2 of my conversation with Michael Warsaw, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN. We spoke when he was in Rome recently for the blessing of the new additional EWTN office space. First, we briefly talk about the history of the EWTN Rome Bureau, from a humble office in my home as the first Rome Bureau Chief to the large, beautiful new premises. Michael then proceeds to tell us about the future of EWTN. You will be amazed and delighted at what's on the horizon. Talk to us for a moment about those brand new offices, what they mean for us here in the Eternal City. But before you answer, I have to tell you, as I said when we just met minutes ago, that for me, this is so amazing because in 2005, as the first Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN, the offices were new and very small. And you and I are sitting in them right now, literally the EWTN office in my apartment. So stunning growth in very few years. And talk about the new offices and that blessing.
Sure. Well, thanks, John. And it's such a delight to be with you. I think this perhaps is one of the first times that we've had a chance to sit down and really talk over these years.
Exactly.
But yes, this new office is certainly a next milestone, I think, in the development of EWTN here in the Eternal City. Obviously, as you said, you know, back to 2005 when you were the first bureau chief, and you know, your room here and your in your apartment in Rome, and that's really kind of where this started. And as the years progressed, and as EWTN's apostolate has grown, we've certainly added more services, we've added more people. So we went from you alone carrying the flag here to now today about 40 full-time employees here of EWTN who work in Rome. And we had a really good problem, and it's a problem that's repeated over the years, which is we expanded a little bit and then opened another little space outside of your apartment.
Yeah.
And then we grew out of that, and so we had to move a little bit into a larger space, and we outgrew that, and that was the origin of the first office on Via Conciliazione, right next to the press office of
exactly.
the Holy See. And so now we've again outgrown that space, and we've now got an office at the other end of Via Conciliazione. So coming and going,
beautiful
You have to see EWTN one way or the other.
No, it's like on the top floor or almost top mm-hmm. floor. Beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. terrace.
And what we've done is really to split into two sections. So we retain the original office on Via Conciliazione, which is now our technical operations center for Rome. It supports all of the television feeds that viewers
right.
of the network see of papal events and all of the different moments in the life of the church that EWTN brings to the world.
Exactly.
That is all going through the technical center, all of the news feeds, all of the different shows and segments of shows that people see that involve Rome. All of that's inside that technical center. But now there's an office space and a great space for our journalists, for our producers, for our managers. So all of the people who really comprise this team of
exactly.
you know, 40 full-time people that are part of EWTN.
Well, and the thing is, we have so many different languages that we work with, too, that even the people, the videographers, they are there. They have, well, on one table in that new office, there must have been 8 huge screens mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they do their work with, all in the different languages. So they'll film me in English on Mondays for At Home with Jim and Joy, and then maybe someone after that in Spanish with the news,
right,
and all those
right.
things have to be edited. We have a very talented staff.
We do, and you know, it's largely a young team. I mean,
exactly.
I think you know, when I'm in town, you know, I raise the average age a decade or so.
Well, I raise them more than you do. Exactly.
But they're just amazing. I think we have 14 or 15 different nationalities that work
yeah.
for us
exactly.
in the bureau. You know, we've got Kazakhs, we've got Hungarians, we've got Poles, we've got Austrians, we've got you name it. And it's really beautiful, and it's really
a reflection of the church.
It is. It is
the
absolutely.
Universal church.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's beautiful to see what God has done over these years, to see from that humble beginning with you in 2005 and the great work that you did in establishing the presence for EWTN here, and then to see that grow to now this, you know, multi-language, multicultural group that is serving
exactly.
the global distribution platforms of EWTN, you know, which has also grown exponentially.
So, Michael, we've been talking about EWTN's the amazing past, the amazing present, but we have to look for the future
mm-hmm.
from the point of view of technology, personnel. I know just our DC office, has been expanding. So let's look at some of the things that we're anticipating.
Sure. Well, one of the things we've been talking at some length about lately is really something we call EWTN Next. And so EWTN Next is a next generation initiative for EWTN. It's really about how we are able to hand on to future generations the great gift of EWTN, the gift of this great work of evangelization that Mother Angelica founded, and how we, as the current stewards of that apostolate, hand on to those future generations this network that has done so much good and made such a difference in the lives of so many people around the world. Obviously, we live in a very, very challenging time, in a time where media is changing in ways no one ever really imagined.
Right.
The shift from traditional linear television and radio that we all know, and you know, you turn your TV on and you use your remote and you channel surf and all that's really going away.
Yeah.
Not necessarily going to disappear tomorrow or in the next 5 years or even maybe 10 years, but that is shifting. It's all shifting to digital platforms.
It's giving
shifting
way, sure.
to you know, new and different ways of consuming content.
Yeah, all the social media.
And social media plays a big part in that, on demand, you know, watching what I want when I want to watch it, not when the network schedules.
And that's when you have to know your audience, too.
Exactly.
And I think that's where the young people with us, working
right.
for us,
right.
will have a huge influence
Precisely.
On their own generation.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that's part of this initiative as well, is to say the millennials, Gen Zs, those who follow, consume media in an incredibly different manner and style than we ever did and have. And so, you know, you really have to be able to build new platforms, build new
sure.
approaches, create different content types, all of these things that are a part of continuing that mission and continuing to reach people
exactly.
Well into the future. And so EWTN Next, we'll be talking more and more about that in these coming
Good.
Days, months, weeks, years. But it's really, it has a number of different projects and aspects to it. From building a new global distribution platform for EWTN that's similar to a Netflix or a Disney Plus kind of platform that will be able to deliver our content of all sorts and all languages and all stripes to the world, to different kinds of content than we've produced in the past. It's a very, very exciting project, and I think... I know, because Mother Angelica has opened doors already for that.
Oh, sure.
So,
you know, I have to say that given that I grew up without anything that we're talking about, radio was the first thing I knew. Television came in, I think I was 10 or something. But all the social media, I've asked myself 1,000 times, what would my life have been like if, when I was in my teens and high school and college and everything, we'd had this social media? How would if it had changed my thinking, my acting, my entire life? I have no answer because that's not what I grew up with, but it makes me want to look at the young people today in a different way.
Well, and I think we all see, we look at the broad societal trends and we see the impact of social media on our young people and on
exactly.
these generations. And often that's not good. It's often a really bad influence. And it's a way that,
yeah.
in some ways, the secular culture has been able to, you know, infiltrate and really turn young people away from the faith, away from traditional
right.
values, away from the values that for so long, you know, we as Catholics or as Americans or just, you know, people of goodwill, those values that we all held in common, social media, I think, has been a large
diluted
part
them.
Diluting
yeah.
that and dividing, and which is, of course, the work of the devil.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's so important for us and for Catholic media to be on these platforms
Absolutely.
And to be in these places and to push back against that and to provide an alternative message that says, you know, the world's offering you these things, but that's not what's really going to make you happy. That's not what's really going to help
exactly.
you find peace. What we're offering you will, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So now, Michael, very shortly you will be going back to America. What will you bring with you from this trip?
You know, I think the excitement of seeing not just our staff and our employee family here, but also in welcoming visitors from all over the world to these events over the last couple of days, and of sharing some of the story of EWTN with people, the excitement that people have. You know, you obviously attended the event at the new office the other day,
and blessing, yeah.
it was just beautiful with, you know, a whole host of people, but very excited and super excited, and we had a second reception after the blessing that consisted largely of members of the diplomatic corps, you know, 15-20 ambassadors to the Holy See who came to that event, and
right.
for whom, you know, to a person, you know, were telling me how important EWTN is on the global stage. That's a lot. That's a lot of excitement, and that's something I really want to, you know, make sure that we convey to the rest of our EWTN employee family back home to
you
know
will.
That, how valued the work that everyone does is.
Now, my final question: we've just spent these minutes talking about the past, how EWTN has changed from first bureau in the fall of 25 to this moment. How have you changed? How do you think you've changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, I had the blessing of being able to work alongside Mother Angelica for, you know, the last 10, 12 active years that she had, of really being able to learn from her and be mentored by her, which was a life-changing experience for me. And I think one of the things that she, I know, deliberately wanted me to understand and embrace was the sense of reliance on Providence, that it's not about me, it's really about God's providence, and that that has been it was a huge lesson for me. It was a huge change for me personally, and I see that every day, and I'm reminded of that every day, you know. And just as Mother faced challenges in making decisions about whether we should move forward, do this or that, you know, as I go about my day, I think back to that, and I think of Mother, and I try to, you know, move the organization forward in the way that, you know, I think she would have done.
And lots of years of learning new technology.
Well, absolutely.
Single day.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how I've changed in a big way, you know. So anyway, Michael, I know you have a real tight schedule. It's been a wonderful, enjoyable schedule, the blessing and the other events. I've just felt this new enthusiasm. I mean, I am enthusiastic every day, but I just felt this new enthusiasm because of talking to people who are affected by our work. And that just makes you, hey, get up in the morning with a smile.
Absolutely.
And go to
every
it,
day.
You know.
Makes you want to keep
come Holy
it.
Spirit and
more.
Go Joan. Okay.
Thank you, Joan. Thanks for all you do and have done all these years.
Well, you're thank you for your time and, well, your
history.
Part. Big part of my family, for sure.
Thank you.
Exactly. Well, God bless you and yours, and safe travels back to America.
Thank you.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.